when you both report on people who have had heart attacks, you say that it's not all cholesterol. As a matter of fact, high cholesterol doesn't cause heart disease. Explain that. Which one wants that? Martha, let's let you take that first.
Well, you know, cholesterol has never been shown to be causative of heart disease. Cholesterol is something which our bodies absolutely require. It forms the structure of our cell membranes. It forms the backbone of the creation of all of the steroid hormones, including sex hormones and including adrenal hormones. And it's something that is really hugely important in our system. There is a whole group of people in northern Italy who have extremely high cholesterol, don't have any more heart disease than anybody else in the world. So, you know, when we try to decrease the amount of cholesterol in our bloodstream by giving statin drugs, it certainly decreases the cholesterol. It also decreases the synthesis of something that's called CoQ10,
right,
which is absolutely required in order to enable our cells to take out the cellular trash. And so that's part of the reason why people on statins sometimes get congestive heart failure or get extreme muscle pain. You know, they can't get rid of their cellular trash and the cells start to break down.
That's a good point. You got to take that supplement, don't you?
Well, if you're going to take a statin, you really have to take CoQ10. And cardiologists are beginning to realize that, but many of them still don't and still don't prescribe CoQ10.
Most doctors, if you see an article, you know, let's say, you know, you're taking care of yourself and you see an article and you send it to your doctor, do they read it, Mary? Do they care about that?
I don't think, from what people have told me firsthand and from what I read, that doctors have much time to read the journals. And I think that's where we start to get into the discussions about too many times the primary educator of the conventional doctor is the drug salesman who gets in there during the lunch hour and takes his 10 or 15 minutes, and that's not time that the doctors are reading the journals.
No, not at all. Vitamin D, you both believe it's very important. Generally, that wasn't that well known a few years ago, was it?
No, it's like, and even still, I think we're seeing only the tip of the iceberg on how essential vitamin D is. And unfortunately, because in the 80s, we got all of these commercials funded by the cosmetic industry and by the sunscreen industry telling us the sun is bad, we've stayed out of the sun to the point now that even rickets are coming back in children. We know that vitamin D plays a role in keeping cancers away. And probably one of the many reasons we can point to for the rise in cancers in the last 30 years has been that we've been ducking the sun. You know, mankind was born, he was made to be in the sunshine. If you take a look at people who lived in the 1900s, they were outdoors for many hours of the day, getting many more units of vitamin D than we do. I will laugh sometimes when people will look at folks on the beach and make a comment about, gee, you know, they're exposing themselves to the sun, they'll probably get skin cancer. And I will look at them and I'll say, you know, think back to the European sailors, those men who spent decades out on the water. They all died of skin cancer.
Yeah.
And you see the person start to look at me a little funny. And I'll say, and think of the American Indian who spent most of his day, her day, out there in the sun. And now they're really looking at me funny. I said, that's right. They did not die of skin cancer. The message that we have not yet gotten out is that there seems to be a much, much stronger connection to skin cancers and the lack of omega-3 in our diet. You know, our ancestors were eating a lot of the natural foods that gave them omega-3s. We don't. We eat pizza and french fries, and they're full of omega-6s.
Oh, that processed stuff. It's horrible.
Yeah, and then these young kids who have not had a good, strong diet maybe for a few years, we'll go grab a burger and a Coke and fries. They'll go to hit the tanning booth. That's a prescription for skin cancer.
Right, absolutely. What about balancing your pH level? I've had a number of experts on lately who have told me that cancer thrives in an acidic body. Do you agree
with
that?
I'd say an acidic and a sugary body, yes.
Yeah.
And let me toss that one to Dr. Grout, since that's what she deals
sure.
with.
Sure. Okay. And how do we get more alkaline in our system, Martha?
You know, fruits and vegetables actually create alkalinity in the system. Things like meats and sugars create acidity. That's been known in Chinese medicine for thousands of years.
And why the balance? Why do you need to balance that body level to about a 7 or something like that?
Well, first of all, we exist at a very, very narrow range of pH. So, you know, we're not talking huge differences one way or the other. But we are talking a system. If you think about cancer cells require lots and lots of sugar. They don't know how to metabolize fats, so they can only live on sugar. They have excessive numbers of insulin receptors on their surface. And at some point, I'll talk to you about insulin potentiation therapy, which is a way of treating cancer to actually target the cancer cells rather than the entire body.
And are you convinced, too, that losing weight will lower your glucose level?
I'm totally convinced about that. I see it happen with my patients all the time. You know, they'll come in with a blood sugar of close to 300 on gazillions of metformin. And as we help them modify their diet, they lose the metformin, they lose the weight, they lose the blood sugar. You know, they end up with blood sugars of perfectly normal levels. It's wonderful to see, and they feel infinitely better.
And you know what? We see these pills all the time. What's the latest problem? Avandia?
Oh, Avandia, yeah.
Oh,
the best thing that I personally have ever seen any doctor work with is the homeopathic version of HCG. People can stick with that, and they absolutely do lose weight. That belly fat that's the most metabolically active fat that's sitting out there giving your body the wrong chemical messages all day long and feeds that chronic inflammation that you spoke of.